Well, our Australian-based Socceroos are back in the country and getting ready for A-League action after a fantastic World Cup. One of those is Melbourne City star striker Jamie McLaren, and he joins us this morning. Morning, Jamie, and most importantly, welcome home.
Morning, Jules. Yeah, thanks, mate. It's nice to be back. It's quite cold in Melbourne as opposed to what it was like in Doha, but... yeah, really good to be back and looking forward to starting the season again.
Melbourne's weather. It was 35 degrees that morning you played Argentina. Now it's about 10, so typical Melbourne weather. But just before we get stuck into your experience at the World Cup, how's it feel to be back home now? I mean, you know, rightfully so, the team's been lauded for their performance, but given as a team you had the firm belief you could beat Argentina, you know, you had the chances late in the game to at least send it to extra time, and the quarterfinals are about to get underway in the World Cup in the next couple of days. How does that all sit with you now that you're back home?
Yeah, I think once we came through the arrival doors at the airport, it was nice to see quite a bit of fans, I guess, and all around the country. I think Woody had a good one at Adelaide, but to arrive to that with some media, it just shows that we had a decent impact back home in our country. And you know, we definitely saw the scenes after every game at Fed Square, and us boys, especially grew up in Melbourne, can resonate with that. So, yeah, it hasn't quite hit home what we achieved. I mean, the most points that Socceroos team has had, most wins. So, you know, everyone referred us to the golden generation and that we're not good enough and all that. But, yeah, we had that inner belief that, you know, we could achieve something. And in the end, with a bit of luck, we might have taken the Argentina to extra time. So, look, we got further than Germany. We got the same places as Spain. So when you talk about countries like that, we did all right. So, yeah, pretty happy.
How much were you aware of what was going back home? I think we all love Graham Arnold's quote after the Denmark game. You know, no celebrations. It's all about recovery. No social media whatsoever. We've still got a job to do. So given all that and the messages from the manager, how aware were you of what was going on back home?
No, we were fully aware. I think there's obviously a media zone when you leave the stadium. So, you know, we had journalists showing us videos and there were some videos going through our group chat. And like I said, after games, you can't sleep. So you've got all the boys in the social rooms having, you know, coffee and tea and just chatting away about what sort of messages they were receiving from fans in different states. And, yeah, you see, I don't know, 30, 40,000 in Melbourne seeing a big screen at Fed Square. It's pretty amazing, to be fair, and just now looking back, it's a fork in the road moment where you get fans to A-League games and come watch players that played in the World Cup for Australia play in the A-League. So that's kind of what we want. We've been pushing for that, and we just want our game to grow in this country. And yeah, really looking forward to seeing how, you know, our success has come on for this game.
I was going to ask you that, Jamie. How do we, I guess, prosper off the back of the momentum of this World Cup? We saw it in 2006. There was huge momentum and the A-League was absolutely flying at that time. How do we make sure that happens again? And then once it does happen, it continues. It doesn't drop away.
I think there's a number of ways, but, you know, not every box can be ticked at this point in time. I think what happened maybe back in 2006, there wasn't a thing called social media. So the only way fans would have interaction with players would be going to games and maybe meeting them outside the stadium, where, you know, fans can just click on our pages and see what we're up to on a daily basis. So I think in Australia, anyway, in the A-League, I think social media probably has killed the interest and killed the buzz about it, because we're so accessible in that way. But at the same time, you know, you put an atmosphere at an A-League game, you'll get goals, you'll get exciting games. But, you know, the fans bring the atmosphere, and if they bring that, then us guys on the field will have to repay that faith and that, know, support. So we'd go out there and have a good game and try and make it entertaining for them. So it works both ways. And you know, you'll see in, you know, us versus Sydney FC or us versus Melbourne Victory in the derby, they're always cracking games. They're not average games. So we really look forward to hopefully building on that and you know, making it special for a younger generation that want to be, I don't know, next Socceroos or next A-League players.
It's been the Socceroos and Melbourne City star striker Jamie McLaren. Can you take us inside the rooms after that Argentina game? We saw, you know, Jackson Irvine on the pitch sort of broke down in an interview he did with SBS. What was the feeling like in the rooms? Given I'm assuming there was a sense of pride, but also that sense of disappointment as well.
Yeah, and probably just a sense of that's four and a half years over in that sort of, you know, how we've been qualifying and that journey, I guess. But look, if we had got slapped 3-0, you probably would look in the dressing room and you'd probably understand and look each other in each other's eyes and say, yeah, fair enough, we gave it a good crack. But to know that you went toe-to-toe and the last 5 minutes, you know, Argentina were sort of on their knees and we had some chances that probably could have equalised, and, you know, had it gone to extra time, anything could happen, and penalties like you've seen in the last few rounds of the quarterfinals. So, yeah, what do you say, mate? We played against one of the best players who's ever played the game, Argentina, who were one of the favourites. They're my favourites to go on and win it now. So, yeah, all you can say is you're just proud, and that all that emotions will probably come out in the next few months, and it's probably something you can tell your grandkids in the future that, you know, you played against Lionel Messi and a great Argentina side.
What was it like playing against Lionel Messi? I guess where you play on the pitch and where he plays, you probably don't come across each other too much, but you can tell in your voice there that it is something special, and we saw some of the boys get their photos with him, obviously a swapping of the strips as well. Now that a couple of days afterwards, how do you sort of reflect on all of that?
Yeah, well, they were attacking sort of where our bench was in the first half, and, you know, I was warming up, so I was able to see him very, very close and, you know, just watch his movement and stuff. And when they don't have the ball, he really does nothing, and his teammates really do the work rate for him, because they know that once they have the ball, that he's the guy that's going to dig them out. And you saw with their goal, he took the free kick, it came back out, they gave it straight to him, and then he played the 1-2, and you've seen that 100 times. He's done that for Barcelona and PSG, where he just rolls in the far post, and it's almost unstoppable. You think he can stop it, but he's that good, and his placement and his composure is, yeah, it's not human in a way. So that's why he's the greatest of all time, and you can see he's got a lot of pressure on his back with, you know, there was probably 50,000 Argentinian fans with, they all had number 10 jerseys. You know, so you can only imagine how the Argentinian players look up to him as well. And it was an honour to be on the same pitch. I think something that hasn't really hit home just yet, but once you see, I've got some good photos of myself shaking his hand. And,
awesome.
You know, it'll be good to tell people in the future that you come up against the greatest.
What was that atmosphere like for that round of 16 match? Coming through the television back here, it almost sounded like you were playing in Buenos Aires. I mean, the noise coming from the Argentinians, fair play to the Socceroos fans, they made as much noise as they could, but they were severely outnumbered. What was that atmosphere like?
Yeah, they were outnumbered, and but I'm sure they were soaking in the atmosphere as well, because, like I said, looking at the stadium, all you could see was blue and white stripes. Every single Argentinian fan had these Argentinian jerseys on, and you know, and everyone had number 10 on. It was pretty surreal to see, but you can only imagine what, you know, Boca Juniors River Plate would be like, the atmosphere, because those sort of games and those fans, they're constantly singing for 90 minutes, and you know, even when the goal goes in, your ears are ringing and vibrating because the noise is just electric. And my parents were at the game, and I'm buzzing that my dad got to see Messi live, because obviously that's one of the things that he wanted to do, and he extended his stay purely just to watch Messi and maybe his son play against him. So, yeah, it was nice, and like I said, atmosphere brings everything, and if you can get the atmosphere, no matter where it is, whether that's in the A-League or at the World Cup, the atmosphere brings a sense of energy on the pitch, and the players like to give it back. So, yeah, it was a great atmosphere, but the Tunisian atmosphere was up there with one of the best too.
You mentioned before, you know, late chances in that game to equalise. It was a bit of a Lionel Messi type run from your teammate as it's beige. But now that the dust has settled, let's be honest, he should have pulled it back to you, shouldn't he? You were there.
Look, I've had this debate with some people. Some people say it was obvious, some don't. But that's just, you know, defenders going in their blinker mode where they don't really know what's around them. But it was a cracking run by Aziz. He actually had a really, really good tournament, and he probably thought his name was going to be in lights. But yeah, I mean, hindsight's a beautiful thing. We had probably a number of chances before that. And like I said, the last 10 minutes, you could see the way the Argentinian players were throwing themselves at the blocks, and the way they jumped on their goalkeeper when Garang had that shot. It just showed that they knew that we had them up and were going toe-to-toe with them. So that's enough for us to know that we can match it with them. And our energy and you know, our work rate was really good. And yeah, we can take a lot of pride from that and look back and know that the younger boys coming through can really go for the next one.
Tell us about Graham Arnold, Jamie. I mean, he's one of these men, one of these coaches that people are really quick to criticise him, but they're really slow to praise him. He's naturally getting a lot of praise for what he's been able to do over the last few weeks. I mean, what's your experience been like with Graham, and how good was his coaching performance? I guess not only during the World Cup, but during this campaign, given there was not many matches on home soil, there was COVID, there was a lot of things that were thrown, not only the team's way, but his way as well.
Yeah, I think Arnie's copped a lot of criticism from a number of outlets, and, you know, 4.5 years, like I said, you know, for us as players has been difficult. I think he, I don't know, maybe spent 6 to 9 months away from, out of Australia, just to be away from his family to manage this team. So, and there was periods probably where he probably wanted to leave and he wanted to stay and really try and get us to a World Cup. And at the end of the day, he did that. He did what, you know, other coaches have done for Australia and more. So, you know, who knows what the future holds for Arnie, but, you know, he can hold his head high and know that he's led the best finish the Australian team's ever had. And, you know, he's had the Ollie Roos, so the younger boys have loved working with him for that period of time as well. And, yeah, I think he's basically just spoke to us players and said that he wants to go on holiday, refresh his mind like he deserves. And, yeah, who knows what the future holds, but he knows that he's done a very good job. And if he doesn't get the credit, then he knows he's probably got the respect from the playing group and the boys that played under him.
Would you like to see him coach on?
No, look, that's not for me to say. I think it's a case of if he wants to stay, then I'm sure the boys and myself would be happy to see him stick on. But he does need a break. I think it's been more emotionally than anything else for him. So you want him to be happy with what he wants to do. You don't want him to take on a role that he's sort of burnt out. And if he does say he's come out and said he's burnt out, then that's understandably because it's been a grueling 4.5 years. And but if he does stay, then he knows all the boys. There might be a few boys in that generation thing that might, you know, he might still play, but, you know, I fall into that category where, you know, I'm 29, maybe 32 for the next World Cup. So you don't know, but it's going to be an exciting period for Australian football. Whatever happens, there's no games until March, I believe. So there's time for Arnie to get his head down, refresh his memory and his brain. And if he wants to stay on, then that would be great. If he doesn't, then, you know, I wish him all the best.
I was going to ask you that the next World Cup, obviously a long way away, as you say, but I'd imagine after getting a taste for it, there must be just an unbelievable desire to get at least one more crack at it.
Yeah, of course, but let's not also forget, it's you saw the Asian teams this World Cup. Asia's getting stronger, and we as a country need to really invest and get stronger as well. And yeah, it's not going to be easy. I know there's going to be 48 teams for the next World Cup, but still, there's still Asian teams that missed out that are still quality sides that we need to beat in these qualifying games. So, yeah, we did well now, but you saw Iran, Saudi, Japan, Korea, ourselves, and there's probably 3 other Asian teams that can qualify for the next World Cup. But, yeah, Asia's getting stronger, and, you know, it's not going to get any easier for us. And we need to make sure our quality's high and that we continue to believe. And a lot of that fear factor might go away for teams because they know that we'll always be up for it. And, yeah, it's going to be an exciting few years. And, yeah, bring it on.
Before I let you go, Jamie, you're straight back into it. You're driving to training as we speak. You got a big game against Sydney FC on the weekend. Is it easy to get back into A-League action, or is it, you're coming off such a high? Is it tough to get going again?
No, the complete opposite. A lot of boys you know, who play in Europe and stuff are having 6 weeks off. They're not back until Jan. But for me, I couldn't wait to get back on the plane and get ready for the season. You know, I'm on. We're on a great run at the moment. We've not lost a game this season. We're looking really good. Obviously, our coach has moved on and gone to France, and we've got Rado Vincic at the helm at the moment. So, look, I don't know what the dynamic is like at training, but I'll head there now and see how all the boys are, and really look forward to starting this season off on a personal note. Just keep scoring goals and keep winning games, and yeah, just follow on the Melbourne City standard and look to win more silverware.
I guess, and your coach is gone. It was probably something you probably weren't expecting when you headed over to the World Cup, but it's a great opportunity for Patrick Kisnorbo, but that must feel a little bit different.
Yeah, it will. He FaceTimed us three boys when we were playing PlayStation in Qatar, so it was a bit funny. And, you know, with PK, you understood that his ambition was to go, and there was a period in time where you thought, okay, maybe he's going to go at the end of the season. But, you know, football's all about timing, and the time to take over Twa was now. And he's headed over there with Ralphie. And, yeah, we'll see what the dynamic is like in training. It's going to be different, as always is, when you have a new coach and different ideas and different training. But we know as a playing group that it might be a little bit player-driven, which we've got a lot of experience. Obviously, our captain, you know, you got Matthew Leckie, myself, Andy Naboo, and guys who have played for the national team that, you know, we need to keep that standard, whether whoever takes the helm, that, you know, this has been a lot of build-up for the last couple of years, so we know how to win games. And, yeah, I just look forward to getting underway. And there's a big Melbourne derby next weekend also.
Well, Jamie, thanks so much for your time this morning, and well done again. I'm glad the team got a sense for what it meant back in Australia, and particularly for you guys that grew up in Melbourne. Fed Square, 20,000 at Amy Park at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I'm glad you got a sense of that. Well done, and good luck when the A-League season resumes on the weekend.
Thank you very much, Jules.